We want to thank you for joining our Men's Summit podcast today. We hope that this encourages and challenges you in every area of your life. In this episode, Pastor Matthew Hernandez shares a message on the Sabbath. Matthew is the next-gen pastor at Gateway South Lake Campus. Let's listen in.
Hey guys, we are back with our collection of talks on Sabbath. This is episode 2. And so last episode, I kind of shared with you guys why and how I stumbled upon this gift of Sabbath and why I so desperately needed it in my life. You know, a lot of you guys maybe have heard the episode or hear the word Sabbath or even the word Shabbat and think, man, isn't that a Jewish thing? Isn't that just something that Jewish people practice? And my answer to that is no, it's a humanity thing. It's something that every single one of us need. Because what I do believe is that Sabbath is a gift for you. God did not create Sabbath for himself. I said this in the last episode. God didn't create Sabbath so that he could rest because he was tired. No, he created it as a gift for you, to give you life, more life. Jesus talks about, I've come to give life and life more abundantly. That abundant life doesn't just start when we die. It's not like Jesus came and said, hey, let me teach you what you have to do to get out of here someday, right? Like this isn't evacuation theology. That abundant life that Jesus offers is here and now. And I believe that we see a lot of that abundance when we step into the rhythms that Jesus has called us to live in. I said this last episode, that we can't live the life of Jesus without adopting the lifestyle of Jesus. And so a part of that lifestyle is Sabbath, is rest, is pausing, is slowing down our lifestyle. So God gave us this to give you life, to give me life. And so that we can have it to the fullness. We can have it in abundance. You know, in Genesis, I read that scripture last episode, God blesses the Sabbath. After God rested, we read, then God blessed the seventh day and he made it holy because on it he rested from all work of creating that he had done. There's two words here that I want us to focus on today. It's the words blessed and holy. Now, to give you a little bit of Hebrew, to understand this context a little bit more, bear with me, we are going somewhere. But the word bless is the word barak in Hebrew. A barak or blessing in the creation story is the life-giving ability to procreate, to make more life. And God baraked three times in Genesis. First, God, he blessed the living creatures when he said, be fruitful and increase in number. He blessed the humans, be fruitful and multiply. And then he blessed the seventh day. He blessed that seventh day because he knows that this is a day that has the life-giving power to procreate and fill the world up with life. Everything that he blessed because he knew it was life-giving. And then he blesses a day because he knows this day is life-giving as well. And here's the deal. I don't know what you do for work. I don't know what you do to make money, and I don't know what you do that gives you life. But no matter how much you love what you do, at the end of a work week, you're still tired. Your fuel cells are empty. But rest, it refills us. It refills us with energy, creativity, vision, and strength. It refills us with clarity and hope because rest is life-giving. And so when we take a day, no matter what we do, no matter how much we love what we do, when we take a day a week to rest, it gives us the energy and vision to continue on the next work week. Because God baraked the seventh day, because he blessed it, and he blesses you when you step into that rhythm as well. When we read that God made the seventh day holy, which in Hebrew, this word is, it's so heavy, it's serious. The Hebrew word is kadosh. Usually this word is used of God and used for God because God is holy. Now hear me, rabbis, they make a big deal about the principle of first mention in scripture, which essentially means this. It means the first time you read a word in the scriptures, it kind of sets the stage of how that word is going to be defined all the way throughout the rest of the scriptures. And the first time we read the word kadosh in the scriptures, it's right here. And what does God make holy? Time. He makes time holy, this time and space. He blesses it. And he calls it holy. It's not a temple that he calls holy. It's not a place or a certain monument. It's time. John Mark Comer, in his book Garden City, he says this, this God isn't found in the world of space, in a temple, on top of a mountain, at a spring, around a statue or a monument. He's found in the world of time. This God doesn't have a holy space, friends. He has a holy time, and that holy time is the Sabbath. John Mark goes on to say this. He says, for 6 days a week, we wrestle with the world of space, the hard work of building civilization. But on the Sabbath, we savor the world of time. We slow down. We take a deep breath, and we drink it all in. In order to really step into this rhythm, it's not a day that we just stumble upon and all of a sudden we just fall into rest. It's a mindset of how we live our life Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, that we just need to slow down. When Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The way we find rest for our souls is stepping into the rhythm of Jesus and slowing down our life. I said it before, I say it again. We cannot have the life of Jesus without adopting the life style of Jesus. And so I ask this, was Jesus ever in a hurry? Because the Jesus I read about in scripture didn't ever seem like he was in a hurry anywhere, that he was never running anywhere, going from place to place. As a matter of fact, when he knew that he had someplace to be, when people were on their deathbed or dying, he wasn't rushing to their side. He was still making his way through a crowd, so much so that a woman can push her way through a crowd and touch the hem of his garment, because he wasn't running, he wasn't speeding, he wasn't off with a brisk pace. She was able to push enough through a crowd to get close enough to him to touch him. People were close enough to Jesus that when they were close enough to ask questions and have conversations with them, because he moved slowly through a crowd. And if anything, that's a model for us as humans, as people who go through life, to slow down, to have conversations with those around us, to see what God is doing all around us, to slow down, to savor the moments, and to drink it all in. There's a story I heard once about a man named John Ortberg, who's an author, incredible author, and he was mentored by Dallas Willard. And he says that Dallas Willard had once told him that hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. Now, don't let that like skip over you and don't be like, oh man, that's really good, and just move forward. Let this quote sink into you right now. Hurry is the great enemy of the spiritual life. How many of you men would say that hurry is a part of our regular vocabulary? It's a part of our daily rhythm or pace of life, that we are hurried and we are rushed. Well, Dallas Willard says that's the great enemy of the spiritual life, because what it does is it prevents us from slowing down. It prevents us from seeing what God is doing all around us, and it prevents us from savoring the moment. We live in an incredibly busy world. I get it. There's work, there's family, there's hobbies, errands we have to run. Don't even get me started on digital distraction and how that influences us today. But we live in an incredibly busy world. There are people who get paid simply to make sure that you stay busy. That if you stay busy, you keep spending money, and in turn, they keep earning their money. We think that they are trying to sell us a product, but in turn, we are actually the product. This month for me, I can speak to this for me personally. This month for me, it's an incredibly full month for me. I've got this podcast I'm recording. I've got my normal job that I've got to do after I leave here. I'm traveling this weekend to a church and speaking. I'm traveling to Portland next weekend. And then my wife and I leave the country a week after that for 12 days. And so it's an incredibly full month for us. So I get it. And sometimes life has those rhythms, but because of those rhythms, we are now so much more conscious than ever to find a day a week where we can pause and we can savor the moments with our family. And I believe it's crucial for all of us, because what I refuse to do is I refuse to allow my calendar to own me. I will own my calendar, and I will not let my calendar own me. I'll ask you that question. Do you own your calendar, or does your calendar own you? Do you own your phone, or does your phone own you? Are you taking ownership of those, of these things in your life that could potentially prevent you from stepping into this rhythm of rest? Or do these things take ownership of you? My calendar will not rob me of moments to savor the moments that I have with my family, the people that matter most in my life. My calendar will not rob me of moments to savor the moment of the wonder of what God is doing all around me. I refuse to allow to let that to happen because I've lived that way and I've seen the fruit from it. And it wasn't good. It wasn't good, my friends. So Sabbath helps me protect the moments that I want to remember. Sabbath in turn will help you protect the moments that you want to remember. I think of moments that I have with my family, moments that I don't want to forget. Well, Sabbath helps me keep those moments. And you may say, well, you know, listen, I'm pretty good at this. I'm pretty good at this rest thing. I'm pretty good at paying attention. My wife or my girlfriend, they always tell me I'm pretty attentive to things. So I don't really know if I necessarily need to slow down. I am so excited for you that you're already better at that than me. I'm excited that you are already good at paying attention, that you are already good at being attentive. But I'll tell you this, my daughter Sloane, she's 6 years old, and we never knew that she needed glasses because she never really had trouble reading. But on a simple wellness check, they did an eye exam, and they said that she may need some glasses. And so we took her into an eye doctor. We got a prescription, and her glasses came in the mail, and she put them on. And I'll never forget that we thought she was pretty good at seeing, but she was wearing pink sparkly nail polish. For those of you who have little girls at home, you know what I'm talking about. It's always on them all the time. But the crazy thing is my daughter had never noticed the sparkles in her nail polish before, not until she was able to put on the glasses. We thought she could see well, and she could. But with the glasses, she could see so much better. She can see the glitter on her nails. Some of you may be so great at being attentive and paying attention and recognizing the moments around you. Sabbath helps you be that much better at savoring those moments. So why wouldn't you want to step into this rhythm? I think I'm pretty good at parallel parking. I'm a pro. But now my new car has a backup camera. And I'm that much better. I don't even need to turn around anymore. I just simply look at my backup camera and I know exactly what I'm doing. It is this new technology to help me be better. Sabbath is not new technology. It's not a new principle. It's a practice that has been around for thousands of years to help you be that much better at this thing called life. So what does my Sabbath look like? I'll give you some just practical things of what it looks like for me. Now, it can look different for everybody, but what we do, what my family does, is we filter everything through those lenses. Is it rest or is it worship? So it's not, can I do this or should I do this or should I not do this? Is it rest or is it worship? Those are the two lenses. Is it rest or is it worship? For some of you, mowing the lawn is not Sabbath. That is work for you. For me, that is restful for me. There's something about just doing something mindless outside in my front yard or my backyard and not even throwing AirPods in or listening to any music, just being out there and mowing the lawn. It's pretty restful for me. So for me, I mow my lawn on the Sabbath. I enjoy it. It gives me life. So is it rest or is it worship? Going to kids' birthday parties that we're invited to, that is not rest or worship for me. So we typically say no to those things unless it's a family in our community that we're doing community with. And we get to be with our friends and be with community, that is rest and worship for us. So we will say yes to some of those things. But what does that look like for you? Is it rest or is it worship? But Sabbath for me is a day when my work is finished, even if it isn't. So even if my email inbox isn't down to zero and Friday night comes, that's when we practice our Sabbath, Friday night through Saturday. Even if my inbox is not down to zero, my computer is still shut down and it does not get opened back up until my next workday. Because Sabbath is a day when my work is finished, even if it isn't. Some of you need to hear that because some of you think, well, I can't do this until all of this is done. Sabbath is a day when your work is finished, even if it isn't. As a family, we kick off our Sabbath by a meal on Friday night. We have a meal on Friday night and we sit around the table together. There's no phones at our table. There's no TV that's on. There's simply music actually playing in the background. And we have a time where we gather and we pray and we honor one another. I will go to each of my kids and I will speak a father's blessing over the three of them. And then we will gather around my wife and we'll speak a blessing over my wife and we honor her. And we eat a lot of good food because there's no such things as carbs on the Sabbath. That's my own personal rule. And we eat lots of dessert And it's a really good time with our family. And that leads into our phones go off on Friday night. Our computers go off on Friday night. We sleep in on Saturday. And we relax and we take it easy and we filter everything through the lens of, is it rest or is it worship? So there's no screens for my kids on Saturday. So we color, we draw, we engage, we go on a family picnic. We hang out. Also on this, in Jewish culture, rabbis would give extra brownie points to married couples who had sex on the Sabbath. So for you married men out there, like if that's just not reason enough to step into Sabbath, because my wife and I, we will take our adult naps is what my kids call them. And it is a good time because God wants to bless marriages. I believe Sabbath is for our marriage as well, where at least once a week we will be able to connect as a man and as a wife. My kids will see this too as well. When we gather around that dinner table on Friday night, if things have been tense that week between my wife and I, if things have been tense that day between my wife and I, our kids, they can feel that. They feel it in the house. But once a week, they see us gather around the dinner table and they see us gather around my wife and they see me honor my wife. They see me love my wife. They see me extend grace to my wife. And in turn, my wife do the same thing for me. The Sabbath is for marriage. It's for healthy marriage. So my kids may feel the tension from time to time, but they will always know their father is going to honor their mother. And then my wife is going to do the same thing back. So I spend time with my wife. We have our adult naps. It's wonderful. But what I see in this in scripture, in Mark chapter 3, verse 1, it says this, because oftentimes what I hear is, well, Jesus didn't practice Sabbath. Jesus worked on the Sabbath. And Jesus did. He got in a lot of trouble on the Sabbath. This is one of those stories. It says this, another time Jesus went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal him on the Sabbath. And Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, stand up in front of everyone. Then Jesus asked them, which is lawful on the Sabbath, to do good or to do evil, to save a life or to kill? But they remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and then in deeply distressed at their stubborn heart, said to the man, stretch out your hand. And he stretched it out. And his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they may kill Jesus. Jesus got in a lot of trouble on the Sabbath. But what I have found is Jesus healing here on the Sabbath is a reflection of what the Sabbath is intended for, because I believe the Sabbath is healing. It's healing for our souls. It's healing for our families. And it's healing for the people around us. I told you how I stumbled upon Sabbath, because I was unhealthy, because I was broken, because I was running a pace that I could not keep up with. And I was broken. And in turn, my family was breaking because of it. But I want to read to you this. When my daughter, my oldest daughter, when she was in kindergarten, she's in second grade now, but when she was in kindergarten, we went to a back to school day where we saw all the work that she had been doing. And so we looked at her journal in kindergarten, and I wish I can show you this picture, but I have it pulled up here on my phone. But it's this picture of me and my wife and her sister and our dog. I don't know where her baby brother was in this moment, but she decided not to put him in this picture. And we're sitting around the dinner table, and she wrote this. I'm doing Sabbath dinner. We light the candles. I love Sabbath dinner. It is so much fun. It's the best day of the week. This is I get emotional just thinking about it. It's a picture of redemption. It's a picture and a journal entry of redemption and healing for my family because of what Sabbath has done for us. And I believe the Sabbath can do the same thing for you. Pastor Robert, in his new book, Take the Day Off, which I highly recommend you pick up. It's an incredible book and practical on why we step into this rhythm of Sabbath. It's a value of our house here at Gateway. Pastor Robert says this, the Sabbath principle of rest is life, not law. It is an invitation, not an obligation. It's a gift and not an assignment. Open the gift. Start living. Accept the invitation. So for you, my friends, my brothers who are listening, I encourage you to accept the invitation. It's an invitation, not an obligation. It's a gift and not an assignment. The gift of the Sabbath will bless your souls. It'll bless those around you, and it'll bless your life. So I leave you with a little bit of a benediction, if I can. My prayer for you, wherever you find yourself listening to this, whether you're in the gym or in the car, whether you're at home, my prayer for you is this, is that you will be still and know that He is God. My prayer is that you will be still and know. My prayer for you is that you will be still. And as you step into Sabbath rest, my prayer for you is that you will simply be. Grace and peace, my friends. I love being with you. Thank you so much for having me. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, be sure to rate it and subscribe to stay up to date with new episodes. If you would like more info on our men's conference, please visit menssummit.com. Until next time, have a blessed day.